Well, hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is your co-host, Brian Brown. We are in Music City, USA.
We are.
And we are ensconced in the B.B. McKinney Studios, the historic and majestic studios on the ninth floor of the new Lifeway Tower, which is absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, we hope people come by and see us. We like giving tours of this place.
Absolutely do. It's right here on 11th and Lifeway Plaza.
Lifeway Plaza.
In downtown Nashville. Beautiful view of the skyline. And honestly, technologically, this building has been just a great godsend to
it
us.
It has. It's a real blessing. Real blessing.
But Mike, we're not here to talk about the B.B. McKinney Studios today. We're here to talk about something near and dear to my heart, because in 1974, my dad, a youth pastor in Michigan, moved our little family of six down to El Paso, Texas to plant a church.
Wow.
And in those days, my mom was helping us do the music, Mike, and that involved, we met in a little daycare center that was a daycare during the week, and on the weekends and Wednesday nights, there was church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night back then. It was a long time ago. And we would bring an upright piano on the back of a pickup truck and load it in there and folding chairs. But wow. church planting has changed a lot since then, and so has worship and church planting. So that's our topic today. I know we have a special guest in the room.
Do.
Why don't you introduce him.
I'm excited to have Daniel M. here. Daniel, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Hey, I didn't realize that was the name of the studio.
Well, Daniel.
Careful now. There's a theater of the mind that we're creating.
Should we go into the explanation? We've been doing this podcast. How long have we been doing this podcast, Brian?
Too long. Today was just one day too long.
Three years.
A few years.
Yeah. And on the first one, Brian christened, and B.B. McKinney, of course, for
the
our musicians out there.
Yeah.
He's kind of considered the father of Baptist hymnody. He was the first director of the church music department for the Baptist Sunday School Board back in 1940.
All right.
Brian has named the studio, and it's kind of like, I explained it this way. It's kind of like Air Force One is whatever plane the president is on.
That's right.
Wherever we are recording this becomes the B.B. McKinney Studio.
That is exactly right. Now we've broken the fourth wall. But anyway,
that's the explanation.
I wasn't familiar with B.B. McKinney, so the first thing that came to my mind was B.B. King. So I was like, music. So.
Well, yeah, that would be good too. So
you can tell Daniel's one of our younger leaders here at Lifeway.
Well, here's why I wanted Daniel. And Daniel, I've thought about this for a long time having you in here, because God has raised you up here at Lifeway as a leader that is speaking to the church in profound ways around some very specific and very focused ministry things. Your new book, No Silver Bullets, I read what people are saying about it. I've seen the book, and God's given you a voice in a space that is a very critical space for our denomination and beyond, where the church is growing. Your ministry is all about helping churches that are planting and being revitalized and multi-site. And your website, newchurches.com, is where a lot of the things that you're saying, articles you're writing, books you're writing, you've become a voice in this space of church planting. And I know from my own experience on a church staff, the worship dynamic of a church plant has a very specific and unique set of challenges and opportunities. And I wanted our audience to benefit from your experience and your perspective of church planning, the worship discipline inside the church planning work that you are so well familiar with and speaking so much truth into. So I guess a good way to start this conversation is tell us about you, a little bit of your history and how you got to this place where you're focusing on new churches and new ministries for churches. Give us the story.
Yeah, so much like Brian's story, I mean, my parents didn't plant a church, but they were part of a brand new church that started in Vancouver, and I was the first baby born in the church plant.
Wow, wow.
So obviously I got a lot of love from all the older people and everyone else in the church, but that's kind of been in my blood, and my dad started multiple businesses, and that's really where I got my love for starting ministry, starting things from, I guess, the environment in which I grew up in. So after getting married, actually while I was engaged, I was leading worship, actually. I don't know if...
I did not
know
that.
So that's it's a little bonus right there.
He's one of us.
Yes.
Leading worship in a church plant.
Yeah.
And I was not the interim pastor. I was the intern pastor, and sure. the pastor had actually fallen due to moral failure. And so I was, it was me and the elders as the intern, not the intern.
Wow.
And,
wow.
It was, yeah, there's a lot of stories
by fire
behind it.
Right there. Yeah.
My first sermon was on Easter Sunday.
Wow. Oh,
I'm goodness. So glad no one recorded sermons back then.
Wow. That's great.
So yeah. And then moved to Montreal as a part of a church plant there, helped them start their first campus. And then we moved to Korea, and it was a multi-site ministry there where I was leading student ministry and how the church was doing leadership development. Mm-hmm. And then 4 years after, and then after that 4 years, I was in Edmonton doing adult ministries, wow. multi-site ministry, just figuring out how the church was going to be doing a lot of discipleship. So a lot of no silver bullets comes out of what I tested and the discipleship pathway I developed there at that church. And then 3.5 years ago, we moved down south.
Wow.
Not only to the States, because I'm Canadian, but to the south.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is different.
It is. So I've got to ask the question. You're Canadian, so are you a hockey fan?
Of course.
So
of course.
Have you completely embraced the Predators yet, or are they still a rival for you?
Yes. So the Preds are now my number two team.
Okay. So who's number one?
Vancouver Canucks.
Well,
that's where I grew up.
I understand the Canucks. All right. So our audience knows this, but you don't know this. My son-in-law works for the Predators.
Oh, okay.
So we're all up in the middle of the Predators. We watch everything they do. Yeah, he actually has a radio show. He's one of their PR staff.
All right.
He's kind of a rock star in the Preds hockey world.
Well,
so.
I'll tell you what. And I tell this to all my Canadian friends, you have not seen a hockey game until you go see the Preds.
I agree with that.
Because the Preds know how to put a hockey game.
They really do.
It is not like that.
Well, here's what it was explained to me. Daniel, you'll love this. What the Predators hockey is like is the great sport of hockey meets NASCAR. And the people going to it are college football fans.
Yes.
So it's,
well, all the chanting.
Yeah, it's
and
NASCAR
it's
and college football at a hockey game is what it is. So if you throw in, and also these are the same people that like wrestling. The Saturday morning kind of wrestling, you know what I'm saying? So it is a wild, wild atmosphere. Well, Daniel, from my perspective, you and I haven't been able to work that closely together, but I certainly see what you're doing from across the way. And I love the whole premise behind the book because I do think sometimes, even at Lifeway, we can be guilty of thinking, gosh, if you'll do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then 6 is going to happen in your church. And and the truth is God didn't intend to give us that template. He wants us to be in a relational dynamic with him where we're dependent on the next step that he's going to give us instead of a template that we want to follow. So I really appreciate the premise of your ministry. So you've had experience church planning and being multi-site all over the world, really, in a lot of different cultures, a lot of different experiences. And now here at Lifeway speaking into this space. So as someone that's been there, done that, many settings, many different ways, how do we have a conversation about the worship piece of church planting? What are the first things that come to your mind when a church plant is beginning to think about where they're going to start, what they're going to do, and how they're going to do worship together?
Yeah, so as I was preparing and kind of thinking through what we were going to talk about here in this episode and in a future episode about kind of this dynamic of worship in a multi-site context, sometimes people will think, hey, if it's in a church plant, it's probably the same as worship in a small church, right? And if it's a worship in a multi-site church, it's probably the same as worship in a large church, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. There is that big difference. And if you look at kind of the church planting landscape and starting something new, there's been a lot of conversations around what's the difference between church planting, replanting, or revitalizing. And the unique thing about church planting is you are starting from scratch.
Right.
You don't have a choir director that has been paid, part-time paid staff for the last 20 years.
Right.
You don't have worship wars necessarily to have to deal with anymore or certain perceptions of what worship should be or ought to be under previous pastors. What I say in No Silver Bullets is there's this danger of nostalgia when it comes to church ministry. And even if you come in as a brand new pastor into an existing church, so not even church planting, when you come into an existing church as the new pastor, everyone has this idea of the ideal pastor, who their favorite pastor was.
Yeah.
And the problem is nostalgia, you overemphasize the good and you de-emphasize the bad.
Right.
So that pastor was never that good.
No,
never.
He wasn't.
But you kind of built them up, your congregation has built them up, and that's who they're comparing you with. Well, you would think in a church plant setting that you wouldn't have that. Yet, if you are reaching churched, well, even if you look at de-churched and unchurched, I mean, that's another thing, but you are probably going to have a lot of church people come to your plant because you want to have a launch team. You want to start strong. You want to launch strong, and you have to get towards self-sustainability, and it's hard to disciple unchurched and de-churched into giving. Yeah. So that's why there's a big part of having a launch team of church people joining you.
Sure.
Well, they're going to have their ideal pastor in mind. Mm-hmm. And even though it's brand new as a church, in the same way, they have their ideal worship in mind.
Yeah. Mm.
So when it comes to starting a brand new church, and if you're a pastor and you're wanting to plant a brand new church, or maybe you're a worship pastor or worship leader and you want to join that new church that's about to start, that's why the launch team conversations, talking to everyone who's going to be joining the church, is so important to actually talk through worship, through worship dynamics. If you're having prayer meetings, even if it's just an acoustic set with a guitar or a keyboard, leading in the way that you would envision the congregation. So that,
what a great word.
Because on the one hand, you could have a conversation and say, well, our worship style is going to be, you know, like 10,000 reasons. Well, it's going to be kind of a little bit of that mixed with 100 billion, and then this song and this, and they're like, okay, I kind of get it, but until they worship together with you, they're not really gonna feel it or understand what that's.
So even in the earliest meetings, where your launch team's getting organized, you're beginning to pray together and strategize together and form community around what you're going to go do together and planning a church, the worship culture starts taking shape.
Yeah,
right off the bat.
Totally. I mean, I grew up in a Presbyterian church.
Yeah,
and I grew up in a Presbyterian church because a lot of Koreans. I mean, Presbyterian missions was huge in Korea. Well, my wife grew up in a Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
Right. And now I serve as a teaching pastor at a Southern Baptist church. Right. So just take a look at, you know, all the spectrums of the different denominations and ministries that we've served in. And as you are well, or I mean, within the SBC, even outside of the SBC, I mean, worship, there's so many different styles when it comes to worship.
Sure.
So to actually be able to start those early meetings and say, hey, well, the way that we worship, there's going to be, you know, we're going to sing maybe more of a contemporary hymn.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll sing a chorus over here, but we're going to have 5 minutes of just acoustic music or 2 minutes of acoustic music for people to pray.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can't verbalize that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So you're setting that culture. All right. So I want you to back up maybe one step in where we are in this conversation, because we've been talking about a launch team and the worship culture beginning to take shape in a launch team. Get us inside the mind of that person that first has that vision that God's put on their heart to go to this place and plant a church. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're sponsored by a church, or maybe they're associated with the North American Mission Board, or maybe a lot of ways that this could happen. But how does that church planner start thinking about worship, and what are the key questions he's trying to answer as he's getting ready to put a launch team together?
Yeah, I love the way that we're doing this now, and I'm glad you didn't ask me to do this interview a couple years ago. Because on newchurches.com, every month we have a focus.
Yeah.
And last month we had a focus on worship and the relationship between the worship pastor and the senior pastor. So Keith Getty, we did an interview with him. We did an interview with Matt Boswell, with the doxology and theology guy. So I've been thinking a lot about this in the recent months. And when you think about that relationship or between the pastor and the worship leader, right? And you look at how that differs in a brand new church versus an existing church. Once again, going back to what we said earlier, you have that ability to start from scratch. You have that ability to build culture from the beginning, from the get-go. But I think one of the things that needs to be talked about and wrestled through at the beginning is, hey, what role does the pastor have when it comes to worship?
Mm-hmm.
Is it that the worship leader, who's probably not going to be paid? And if you're a church planter, I would encourage you. I mean, if you're going to hire someone as your number two hire, and you only have money for you as a full time pastor and for a part time position, you have to hire a kids pastor or a kids director, not a worship leader or a worship pastor. I think that's maybe your third hire or fourth hire, especially in a brand new church when funds are tight.
So why do you say that?
Why do I say that? Well, so when it comes to a church growing, right? And obviously there's a lot of different opinions when it comes to church growth. Some people would say, and there's a recent Pew Research study to say, hey, why do people visit a church in the first Right. Not why they stick, but why they come. And the number one reason is preaching. The number two reason is music, worship. But when you look at why, when you look at a trend among churches that are growing, a lot of it has to do with families joining and a vibrant kids ministry.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think on the one hand, you could have a situation in your church where you're attracting a lot of people because of great music, but are you going to retain them? Okay. And I would even say, you know, this is another thing. Do you even want to attract people with great music?
Yeah.
I mean, that's another conversation to have.
Can you sustain that?
Can you?
Whatever you attract them with, you're going to have to sustain and
build
on.
Otherwise, you're going to lose.
You're going to lose them.
To the next church that is attracting with better music.
Yeah.
So when it comes to a brand new church plan, I wouldn't say, hey, try to compare with that church of 10,000 who has a sound budget and, you know, a full-time sound engineer that went to Belmont and, you know, don't compete with them, but actually say, hey, what is our strategic trade-off here as a church?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's not full lights and music, but maybe we're going to create an intimate space when it comes to worship. Maybe we're going to create more of a acoustic, closer, you know, people on stool sort of feel.
Well, I mean,
in our plan than 10 singers.
It's a fascinating conversation because some of that would be dictated by the room that you're meeting in.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and in a church plant, that could be anything. That could be somebody's house.
Yeah.
It could be a movie theater. It could be a storefront. It could be the park. It could be under the bridge. And so a lot of the room is going to dictate a dynamic. Would you go so far as to say, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth at all, but I'm just thinking with you, would you go so far as to say that every one of those plants are going to probably approach it differently based on who is available and part of the vision from the beginning? You might have a music solution sitting right there, you know, with you in a partnership that's starting out. It may not be they may not be a full-time minister, but they might have some giftings, and God just gives that to you
completely. So let's say there's two equally two equal opportunities that can happen in church planting. You know, as good. So you'll see a lot of collegiate church planting or planting close to college campuses, where you're gonna be like kids pastor. Everyone's 20 something.
Yeah,
even we have a church here in town, Ethos Church. Mm-hmm. I think 80% of their church is under 30. So they don't, they're, so even as I've talked to their pastors, and I was like, their church plant, they only have a few kids, so they don't necessarily have a full-time kids director. So let's say you have an example like that. You're reaching under 30s, a lot of college students, and then you're planting more in a suburban area or maybe it is urban, but there's a lot more young families. Well, who your second hire is going to be is going to be very different. And what we've seen, and New Churches is a part of the Lifeway leadership family. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen is, hey, instead of hiring people to do the work of ministry, we see this in Ephesians 4. If you're going to hire someone, you have to hire equippers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even when it comes to your next hire who may or may not lead worship, but maybe they're going to be over the worship ministries.
Yeah.
What's more important is that they're an excellent equipper. Maybe they're a mediocre musician.
Yeah.
But they're such a good equipper that they can actually equip amazing musicians.
Yeah.
That is so important that you said that. We have such a hire it out mentality, particularly in this country. We hire everything out. There are more lawn mowing companies that I see on the way driving into work here because we hire everything out. Yes, and so we tend to let that bleed over in the church, but you're right, it's not biblical.
I love the way you're saying that too, Daniel, because it would be very easy. Music is an art form. It'd be very easy to go get an artist.
Yeah.
And let the artist, and that artist may help Sunday go well or the worship gathering go well, but make no other contribution to your ministry. And you're not growing your church at that point. You may be attracting an audience, but you're not necessarily growing a church if you don't have a disciple maker that's involved in worship ministry.
Yeah, and I've seen that a lot in the worship leader role.
Yep.
Where you, and when it comes to all the leadership pipeline work that we do with Lifeway Leadership, you know, you have the first level where you're leading self. And then if you lead yourself really well, then you move to the next level, which is leading others.
Right.
And if you can lead others, then you can lead leaders and then lead departments and then lead the entire organization. Well, you'll have amazing musicians who can lead themselves really well.
Yeah.
And then a lot less that can lead others well.
Mm, yeah.
That's but so to, true. To actually move to that next level where they can lead leaders. I mean, leading yeah. leaders is not 20 hours a week practicing your set
right.
and that's getting exactly better as right. a guitarist.
Mm, that's right.
Mm. Leading leaders is meeting with your yes. worship leaders and your worship right. team, discipling them and saying, hey, your discipleship, your character, your relationship with God isn't where it ought to be. You're an amazing musician, but you need to know how to treat others wow. with yeah. respect.
Wow.
Right? You need to grow your emotional intelligence and yeah. you can't yell at your drummer because they decided to go, you know, because yeah. they decided to play the way they did.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's work on that. And to find those people and then give them the music skills is a lot easier than finding the best musician and leaders and try to make them equippers.
Yeah. What I'm hearing you say is you are going to, as a new church, you're going to be investing in some people that you're going to be paying to be there. Mm-hmm. I always tell people the church didn't pay me to do what I was doing. The church paid me so that I could do what I was doing. That's an entirely, yeah. it sounds like semantics, but it really isn't. Mm. It's, I'm not a hired gun. I'm not, they're paying me so that I can focus full time on ministry. Mm-hmm. That's what that's about. So, and what I'm hearing you say is when that strategic new church leader is considering who am I going to hire next? It isn't the person that's just executing the worship set.
Yeah.
It's the person that's helping to disciple and pastor a group of people yeah, that are completely. Executing all of the ministries of the church. And it very well may be, and often is, that kids minister becomes that first key hire. Mm-hmm. And you might have musicians around you that you might, I don't know, you maybe pay them something, but they're not your staff. They're just accompanying you. But that the investment is made when that disciple maker comes to lead the worship ministry and develop a group of people.
Yeah. And what I found and what I've kind of seen, especially as it relates to the worship ministry is, and I mean, I grew up playing violin. Mm-hmm. I've played violin classically and in the church and all that. And then I started learning guitar, and my first kind of toe into ministry was really when with my guitar and leading mm-hmm. worship and learning how to lead others really was focused on worship. And what I found when I led is everyone that I led, it was just, I mean, I didn't have to pay them because they just had fun jamming.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They had fun playing. Like, there's just so much joy that comes from just yeah. hanging out with people who love music and just playing songs. And yes, it's even better that it's worship music,
yeah.
right? That you can be worshiping with one another. So if you create this culture where you have an amazing equipper, maybe they're overseeing the college ministry and worship, or maybe yeah. they're doing kids ministry and the worship area,
yeah.
but they're such an amazing equipper that's creating this culture of you know, respecting one another, of loving one another, of pointing one another towards Christ, where you have that fragrance of Christ
yeah.
Coming in and you're jamming together. I mean, I think you're going to then attract so many great musicians who
that's
you,
right.
even, you would even say, that's hey, exactly can I, right. can I pay you? And they're exactly. like, I don't,
yeah,
no, I don't, no. don't pay me. I'm having fun. I exactly. should pay you to be here. Yeah,
I tell pastors right. all the time, you find people that are disciple makers
yes.
first.
Yes.
That God didn't call us to make music. He called us to make disciples. Mm. Music's a language we use, but that's all it is. It's just a language. We've the calling is the same. Mm. So find those God called missional people, and music's the language they use,
yeah.
and they equip others to do it. So that's good. All right, we're gonna keep you for another recording, but we got to bring this one to a close. Brian and I always try to keep it to around one workout.
That's right.
Yeah.
And our workouts are getting shorter and shorter.
And right? our minister of music down in Texas, our yeah. friend Tony Price, he's yep. he's telling us that he can listen to two podcasts in a good run. So
yes.
So we're giving him half of one. We're about to give him a second half to it. So, but Daniel, let's turn the page just a little bit. Often the musician, though, in that church planning setting has responsibilities with technical stuff.
Mm.
So is there any coaching you would give that person that's thinking church planning and thinking about the worship dynamic around the stuff that he needs to do it with? Is there any wisdom there, any place, any resources you can think of? I mean, we get this question from time to time. I'm just interested in how you might answer that.
Yeah. So when you think about a church plant and funds are tight, and this is not just church plants, it's mm-hmm. it's any church, and you have that allocation of how are we going to spend this percentage of our budget towards staffing?
Yeah.
Number one, you have to staff, and I'm okay when you pay equippers. But you also have to pay straight doers, right? In other words, yeah. if the task is highly administrative or incredibly specialized, then you often have to hire someone or pay someone, even if it's a little bit, to help out. Mm-hmm. So someone who's an administrator, part-time, highly technical, even when it comes to the books, right? Yeah. You in a church plant, don't hire someone to do it. Find someone in your church who can help out or contract it out, right? Freelance it out. But when it comes to the worship setting and when it comes to the sound team and all the technical side, I would say in a church plant, if there's not anyone in your church who naturally has talent toward that, well, hire it out.
Yeah.
Go to a larger church and say, hey, can we pay you maybe 10 hours a week or 5 hours a week to train our volunteers, or or can we just pay you this lump sum to set up all our equipment to teach us, just get us going?
Yeah.
Because you don't necessarily want to hire someone part-time or full-time on an ongoing basis to run that, or you're just going to bleed yourself out.
Exactly. So, but you would agree, I think, but your answer really does say this, that it matters a whole lot that you do this well. And a church planner would be making a mistake to think, well, we just do the best we can. He actually needs to pay attention to how you do this pretty closely, or it could be a negative thing.
Oh, completely. Because even when it comes to the sound of, I mean, if you're in a gym,
exactly.
How do you do the soundboard so that it's not echoey?
Exactly.
Because everyone's going to come and leave. No one wants to be in a room where the worship's echoey.
Yeah.
But especially when it comes to the preaching as well.
Sure.
The number of people who are now checking out churches before they come via, you know, online service or even just the sermon, for that recording to be tight is incredibly important.
Oh,
And that's where you see the big difference between a novice just tinkering around watching YouTube videos versus someone who really understands how to set the sound.
It's worth it. We did a podcast not very long ago about to stream or not to stream.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
And our recommendation to churches is if you cannot do streaming well with your music, don't stream it. I mean, you're actually telling people you do not want to come to our church if you're not stream, if you don't at least have a baseline of that. So not we say often, not everything that can be done should be. Mm. Right. And so you have to
everything is permissible, but not everything is
beneficial. Yeah, it seemed like maybe Paul might have said that, didn't he? Daniel, we want you to hang around a minute because we want to record a little more with you. You've got a lot of information. And Brian, I want to say this to everybody listening right now. Go to newchurches.com and find out about this guy, what he's saying.
And tons of resources there for all the resources. Church plants. Unbelievable what Lifeway is able to do in newchurches.com to help a church get started. Yeah, if you don't know how to do it, man, I would start there.
I absolutely would. And then I would also say to those that happen to be listening is the whole leadership pipeline thing that Daniel is a part of is a whole lot bigger conversation we didn't even plan to have with him today. But there's a lot of tools there to help churches develop leaders. So, Brian... go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys failed to mention on at newchurches.com/offer, Lifeway Worship actually gives up to $200 in free charts for brand new church plants as well.
That's exactly right.
When you see all those offers there, you will notice lifewayworship.com in the list, and we were invited by Daniel and others to be a part of helping get new churches started. We know, and Daniel, you probably have the statistics on this, but one of the best ways we can turn around some of the baptisms and other numbers that we're seeing in our congregations is to start new churches. So Lifeway has really leaned in, and we're happy at lifewayworship.com to have played a part at that. And there are lots of other resources that you can find there at the website. So Daniel's going to join us again in our next podcast. Until then, we just want to remind you, you can email us always, worship@lifeway.com, and let us know topics, guests you'd like to have us bring in. We'd also like to hear your church planting experiences, maybe some lessons that you've learned that you'd like to share. So come to the worshiplife.com website, and you can join the conversation there as well online. And we always want you to review and rate the podcast. That invites other people in, lets them know about the discussions we're having about worship. And as always, when you email us, worship@lifeway.com, let us know how we can pray for you and your ministry specifically. Our team gathers to pray for you frequently, and we want to know how to do that specifically. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast with Mike Harlan. We'll be back together with you really soon.